We are live. I want to welcome to the show Julia Hickman. She is an online lifestyle and fitness coach helping busy women make fitness and healthy eating something that improves, not consumes, their lives. She has a private community for her clients where she provides quick, efficient workouts, time-saving meal plans, and amazing support and motivation. Welcome, Julia. So excited to have you here.
Hi, Jody. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, by the way, I'm Jody Chafee, and this is the Home and Family Culture Podcast, right? We are doing a new experiment, and this is going to be so much fun to talk with you, Julia, and learn more about how your perspective about health and fitness can impact our families. Because, you know, a lot of families, like hopefully most families, they're one of their values and priorities is health, right? But there's a lot of, you know, narrative or negativity around body image, or, you know, and dieting culture and things like that, that it's a big deal. You know, I know myself in my personal studies that, you know, children as young as 7 years old are starting to diet, and then becoming, that is the precursor to eating disorders and things, you know? So this is a very important topic as far as culture and family culture is concerned. So give us a little insight about you, what you do. What is your angle as far as, you know, health and fitness and nutrition?
Yeah. So my philosophy really, as a fitness professional, is that, health is important. Absolutely. But especially when we're mothers, when we're busy working women, we tend to have this mentality where we want everything to be perfect. So we want to be all in, or then we're not going to even bother at all. And my philosophy is just that it doesn't have to be that difficult. What you can do is enough. Like you are enough. Whatever you can do is enough, and it's better than nothing. So that's really why I created my online training business, is to help those women who have a hard time getting to the gym, or maybe they just dislike the gym, and they want to have a routine. They want to be able to do workouts that are quick, efficient. They don't want to be missing out time with their families, with their husbands, with their friends. They don't want to be wasting time finding healthy recipes. So I put everything together for them, and then I guide them through the steps so that they are able to create healthier habits. Eventually lose body fat, shed inches, lose weight, and just become more confident and you know, happier, really. And not to say that the way we look is the only way to be happy, but when you feel more confident in your clothes, that goes like so far. And I feel like, especially when we're mothers, if we're happy, everybody else is happy. So, yeah. To me, like, health and fitness has been such a big part of my life. But I've also seen like some of the negative things growing up. And so that's why I want to put out there. And I've done my research and my studying to really give the best advice and the best guidance to my audience and my clients, so that they are able to make better decisions and not just be restrictive and killing themselves working out. So
that's awesome. And you're spot on as far as, you know, all of that. And also about being mothers, when we're not happy, it really trickles down into our whole family, and our health and fitness does impact not just our appearance. It impacts our minds and our, you know, the physiology of our brains even, you know, and things like that. And so it's so important. Right. And then this narrative too, even the fact that everybody's thinking, or anybody is thinking, I can only get fit if I go to the gym, right? Is like, no. So what are some of your tips about how to improve your fitness level without having to go to the gym?
Yes. So I think there's this misconception that we have to worry about calories and how many calories did we burn and how many steps did we get in. And that is part of the equation in getting fit and, you know, losing weight. But we also want to be focusing on building lean muscle. That's actually like a really big part in changing the way our bodies work. So that does not require fancy equipment. You don't need to be going to the gym and exercising for 45 minutes. If you enjoy it, more power to you. But if you don't have the time for that, you know, I have 10-minute workouts in my program. I have 20-minute workouts. So as long as you're working out efficiently and you're learning to listen to your body, listen to what it needs, you know, increasing weight when you're ready for it, or decreasing mm-hmm. weight when you feel like your form is not the best. That's really how you make the changes. And that's how you see the results. So consistency also is much more important than like length of workout, because if you're only able to get to the gym once or twice a week and you're working out for an hour, and then maybe, you know, not eating very healthy for the other days, yeah, maybe you could see improvements. But what if you're doing like 10, 20 minute workouts a few times a week, and you are putting in time to make healthier food selections? You're going to be able to see results much better. You're going to be able to keep it as well, because you're like, in your mind itself, a 10 minute or a 20 minute workout is not as like excruciating as like a 45 minute hour long workout. So it's much easier to maintain that.
That is super exciting, because, you know, I just think about myself. I get kind of overwhelmed and a little bit bogged down by big, big health goals, because like I have some weight that I want to lose and I'm thinking, this is impossible if I have to go to the gym 3-4 times a week, spend an hour, hour and a half there. And so my question is, you know, when you get these women who they may have these big, huge goals and they're kind of intimidated by it, how do you help to keep them motivated along this journey of, you know, the tiny, you know, the little steps, the consistency that they're taking, you know? Because I think sometimes we get on the scale and we're going, nothing's different. Right. And so what are your tips for that? Like, how do we maintain that momentum?
So I guess a little secret that I have is that I focus on mindset as well. So besides the exercise and the nutrition, I focus on mindset and self-love. So I feel like the first thing that we have to change, and change is kind of a big word, so I'll take that back. The first thing that we have to shift is the way we think. And this goes back to what I said before about the all or nothing mentality, where we think if we are not doing everything perfectly, like, oh, I don't have time to meal prep on Sundays, or I don't have time to do X, Y, and Z, so then I'm just not going to do anything. Or I tried and, you know, it's been 2 weeks and I don't see any changes, so I'm going to give up. And it's about like, A, just loving and appreciating ourselves for the way we are at the moment, where whether we have, whether we have an injury and that's what's been keeping us back from working out, or whether we have, you know, an extra 15, 20 pounds that we've been carrying around, whatever it is that your struggles are, you have to just be like, okay, this is where I am now, but I'm thankful for, you know, I'm thankful for X, Y, and Z. Think about other things that you are happy and thankful for that have nothing to do with weight or health. There's always at least something that we can be thankful for. Yeah. And then it's thinking about, okay, things take time. Like, we can't, whatever happens, whatever, like injury or, injury is going to happen suddenly, but gaining weight usually takes time to gain weight, right? So we can't expect to lose it all in 2 weeks. So be patient with ourselves and focus on the self-love, because that patience is what's going to carry us on and help us continue working on those goals.
Wow. And so how do you approach these ideas of like dieting culture, you know, where it's like there's all these different fad diets that come up that promise quick change, quick weight loss, you know, and things like that, or even physiologically feeling more energy and things like that, you know? What is your answer to that? How do we avoid those ups and downs of the diet culture of these fad diets?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when women join my Facebook group, I have a couple of questions that I ask them to answer. And one of the main questions is like, you know, I need to know how to eat better. I need to know if I should be cutting out carbs. You know, that's a big one. Or should I be trying keto? Those are very popular questions. And yeah. Usually my response back to them is like, I can't just answer that after reading like a sentence. I need to know a lot more about you. But usually no, like I would never tell somebody to cut out carbs, unless like they needed it for whatever like dietary condition, right? If it was necessary, and then they should be talking to somebody else about that. But if it's just trying to lose some weight, it's not usually the carbs that are the problem. Sometimes it's the amount. Like maybe they're eating too many. Sometimes it's the quality. But usually like, so I have my clients do a food journal for a few weeks. And it's usually, what I usually find is that we're not eating enough actually. So sometimes the issue is not because of what we are eating, but it's what we're not eating. I usually recommend is like, keep track of what you're eating and really look at like the frequency and like the quality of the things that you're eating, because carbs are not usually the bad guy.
Wow. So is it like people just aren't getting enough vegetables and enough to fuel their bodies?
And healthy fats, actually. I feel like we're so scared because we think fat is going to make us fat. So, yeah.
Huh. Wow. Okay, cool. So, you know, and then coming back to this idea of this culture and the narrative that we're cultivating in our homes, you know, I know that it's really tempting sometimes for women to make disparaging comments about their bodies and things like that. So, and then there, you know, our children see that even subconsciously. So what can we do to change our narrative and the actual dialogue that we have with ourselves in order to change the culture that we're cultivating, that we're growing in our families?
Yeah, this is such an important question. And I think it was just last week, news came out about this Nike trainer who was forcing some of his runners to like lose weight and not very healthy ways. Young girls. Mm-hmm. And that really like, it was like this eye opener to me. And, you know, I just think back to like when I was younger and some of the things that I heard, even in my culture, you know, women make comments on your weight all the time. It's like, oh, you're looking very skinny today. And it's like, oh, that's great. That's such a great thing. Or, oh, you look like you put on a few pounds. What happened? You know, it would be these things. And as like a young girl, you start to think, oh, you know, like the smaller you are, the better it is. And then from talking to people too, from talking to women, friends and clients, sometimes some of the issues that come up later on, like whether it's like mental health issues and other things like that, they stem from the things that we were around in our childhood. So sometimes people have eating disorders because of, you know, comments that people made in their childhood or in their early adolescence, maybe not even with like a bad intention, but we are so, we're so vulnerable when we're young, and it can really make an impact on us later in life. So, and even now, you know, I have a 4-year-old son. I try to be careful with what I say about myself, like I, you know, about my image. And even like, you know, I don't want to give him too many sweets or too many treats, but I also don't want to make him think that treats are bad. You know, right. Like, it's okay to have treats. It's just, you know, we want to be good to our teeth and things like that. So, you know, we really just have to be mindful of like our words and the way we say things that might, you know, might do damage to a child later on.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you say when your son is like wanting to eat lots of candy and you're going, oh, let's slow down or something? What's something that you say?
So usually I'll try to tell him that he, you know, I'll think of some other reward, like, oh, how about we, you know, if he hasn't watched TV yet, like, oh, let's watch a show, or let's play a game. Let's play a new game we haven't played before. Or how about stickers? So
nice.
And sometimes he's got to have the candy, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, you can have candy today. But I just remind him, like, we can't have treats every single day because our teeth are not going to like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, we want to educate them and let them know that, you know, we don't want that to be the norm, but we also don't want to make them feel like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Awesome. So this is really interesting because I think that it's wonderful to have these, just knowing that this is available, you know, that there are ways that we can change the narrative about how we talk about our bodies and the way that we can, adopt habits that will just allow us to be healthy. Right. Like, right. I like this idea that you don't have to, you know, it's like not all or nothing, mm-hmm. you know, and just being able to have consistent routines and habits. So thank you so much, Julia. This is so cool. And I love learning about these things. And what is your like parting encouragement for people who are thinking, I want to get on this bandwagon without being negative, without beating myself up, and how can I take care of my body in a positive way?
Yeah. So I think, especially at this time of year, right? Like, we have Thanksgiving and then we have Christmas, and I've been calling this the most tempting time of the year when it comes to food and celebrations. And it can be a stressful time, especially to those who are trying to make those healthier options. But we have to remember, like, life is meant to be enjoyed. So enjoy those mm-hmm. moments. You're not going to ruin things by, you know, having a couple of desserts here and there. But just remember your goals and remember your why. And there's going to be days where we're not our healthiest, whether it's because of a holiday, whether it's because we're sick or work is crazy. But, you know, remember your why. Remember why you want to make these changes, and then just do your best the next day.
Awesome. I love that so much, especially going back to, you know, remembering why you want to do that. Why do you want to be healthy? You know, that can be a really strong and powerful motivator to keep you on that path. So that's awesome. Cool. Julia, where can my audience find you and get more of your amazing tips and tools?
Yeah. So the best place to connect with me would actually be my free Facebook group. It's called the Fit Femmes Tribe. Come in there. I do. I have like full freebies. Like right now, I have a free little meal plan. I do free fitness challenges every few months. So it's a really great place to connect with me and with other women who are on similar journeys. And my Instagram, I'm active on there as well. That's the Petite Fastinista.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I really love talking with you. This is great. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. The questions that you asked were just so, you know, discussions that we need to be having more of. And, you know, hopefully the women are listening. So thank you, Jody, for having me.